Lord Jesus, be present, and pour out the Holy Spirit upon your people and your church gathered to offer you worship on this, the feast of the resurrection. May we be mindful of the grace that you have poured out upon us. Touch our hearts and our minds with your grace and truth, that we might be the disciples you are calling us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, they said that it couldn't be done, that it was actually hubris, the vainglory pride of man to think that they could possibly invade the realm of God. And then it happened. Boom. December 17th, 1903. Anybody? Anybody? Let me give you another clue. Orble and Wilver. Anybody? These guys right there. Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, the first controlled, sustained flight of a motorized, heavier-than-air machine, the first airplane. A barrier which had been considered unconquerable. And it was overcome, and new possibilities burst forth, new challenges, new opportunities. That was 120 years ago. And just think about it. Now we complain about flying. But barriers are not just technological. They are also physical. Consider the 4-minute mile. Many said it was impossible. Doctors of the time said that it would kill you if you tried to run faster than 4 minutes. And then, bam, 1954. There he is. Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. Look at it, he's full of life. Well, maybe not, but soon after he broke the 4-minute mile, get this, a flood of runners within the next year broke the 4-minute barrier. Why? Because they now had evidence that it was possible. Somebody had done it. Specifically, Roger Bannister had done it. Barriers, they're all around us, right? Some seem insurmountable until someone or something breaks through. Then that which seemed impossible, well, becomes possible. And breaking through that barrier creates new opportunities, new realities, new futures that we could only imagine. Do you know what the greatest barrier to humanity is? I mean, it spans all socioeconomic, geopolitical, ethnic boundaries. It is the barrier which holds all of us at bay. It slinks around the periphery of our lives suddenly and at times breaks through and everything comes to a screeching halt. And reality is turned upside down. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Death. Death. It is the ultimate barrier. Death is the definitive intruder, the interloper, the injustice. And when it crashes your party, it is impossible to ignore. And sometimes it's impossible to resist. And so we're sort of like, you know, kids who whistle in the dark to comfort ourselves from death's inevitable violation. And we spend our lives sort of, you know, distracting ourselves with goals and objectives and new mountains to climb. We distract ourselves and entertain ourselves with pleasure and things and experiences. But we live in a state of self-induced and culturally supported denial. And then, unexpectedly, death kicks in our front door and takes the plans and the hopes and our expectations and shreds them right in front of us. I remember comforting a family whose college-age daughter was leaving home, going back to college after a break, killed in a car accident. In an instant, a future which was considered rock solid predictable. Oh, yes, Susan, yes, she's going to graduate soon, and she's going to get a great job, and then she's going to fall in love, and then she's going to start a family. A future taken for granted became a future erased by death. Death and the fear of death has the power to hold everybody, and I mean everybody, hostage. From the young couple huddled around the baby monitor, waiting to hear the next breath of their sick kid who's just in the other room, staying up all night. Anybody there with me? Anybody do that? Yeah. Or the parents staring at the ceiling at 1 a.m., waiting anxiously to hear the sound of the garage door opener, indicating that their teenager had arrived home safely, although very late, and they are grounded, seriously grounded. But thank God they're home. The wife sitting on the edge of the hospital bed, holding her spouse's hand, waiting for the next beep of the heart monitor. The first responder standing on the rubble of a tornado, waiting, hoping to hear the faint cry of somebody buried alive. The police officer charging up the stairs of one of our schools to confront an active shooter. Death is all around us. It's in the air we breathe. It is the ultimate equal opportunity destroyer. And it does not care who you are, what you have, what you don't have. It is going to get you. As Woody Allen once quipped, no one gets out alive. That's why all of this, right? All of this is really peculiar, right? I mean, it's very odd, wouldn't you say, Coco? Wouldn't you? It's just weird. We're gathered here today to proclaim something completely radical, countercultural. Some would say absolutely absurd, but listen, we do it anyway, and it's a lot of fun, isn't it? It is. It's a lot. Let's do it. Y'all want to do it? Come on. You want to? Ready? Hallelujah! Christ is risen! Oh, you're going to have to put some heart into it. Put your back into it, people. Ready? Hallelujah! Christ is risen! We stand today with 2.3 billion people. Billion across this globe who stand up and declare with us that the power of death has been destroyed. Just with that simple phrase. You want to do it again? Yeah? Hallelujah! Christ is risen! Now listen, I know this is starting to feel a little bit like a pep rally at best and a cult at worst. But let me assure you, this is not a cult, and I'll tell you why. Because if it was, half of you would be at my house polishing my Rolls Royce, okay? Listen, the church has been proclaiming this for 2,000 years. Empires and kingdoms have risen and fallen. The church continues to proclaim that someone broke the death barrier. And not just someone, but someone specifically, a person marked in history, a Jew named Jesus, who is the long-awaited Jewish Messiah, and he died at the hands of the Romans, and 3 days later, there are witnesses, 3 days later, he rose from the dead in his resurrected human body. And he appeared to his disciples, and he ate fish with them and hung out. He appeared to hundreds. And then his disciples witness him in his body ascending into the clouds. And we proclaim that that person, Jesus, beat death at death's own game. He went through the horror, through the pain, the fear, the agony, the isolation, and the death, and he came out on the other side alive. And that's why we're here today, right? To proclaim this radical countercultural truth. And if it is true, and I believe it to be so, then if that is the truth, it actually changes everything. It actually changes everything. It means we're free. Free from the fear of death. That's our proclamation to the world, right? Death in all its forms, from physical death to social death, where you're rejected and scorned by others. Financial death, when you lose your job or your career, and suddenly your identity that is built upon that begins to crumble. Emotional death, when your heart's broken by the ending of a relationship or a divorce, and it calls into question, am I actually lovable? Death in all of its forms has been defeated. You are free. Free to live a new life. A different life. Free to live with a new identity. Not one based upon the capricious whims and fads of the world and its people. But rather a new identity. A new identity that is grounded unshakably in the one you belong to, the one who made this whole world, the one who lived and died and rose again, the one who will never leave you and never forsake you, the one whose love, mercy, and grace will never fail, ever. Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Amen. Can I have an hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And yes, this is an Episcopal church. And I know what y'all thinking. You're thinking, don't be so naive, preacher boy. Death is still the big dog at the bowl. And I would say yes and no. And by the way, don't call me preacher boy. It hurts my feelings. Certainly we are going to die physically. We are. But what Jesus said and told us is that he is coming again. And when he does, he will raise up the dead from their graves in their bodies, our bodies reconstituted from the dust, and he will breathe the spirit of life into us, just as God did with humanity in creation and God did with Jesus from the dead. We will live again just as Jesus lives in our resurrected, glorified human bodies. And Jesus, he will meet us on the other side of death. When you close your eyes in death, the next moment they will open and you'll be in eternal life and you will see Jesus face to face. And for those of us of faith, in that instant, everything we have believed, everything we have followed will be confirmed in the face of Jesus. And we will be judged for what we have done and for what we have left undone. But those who belong to Jesus will be found innocent for one reason and one reason only. Not because they did everything right. Not because they did everything wrong. For one reason and one reason only. They belong to Jesus. They gave him their lives. And they followed and worshiped him in this life. Not perfectly. Not perfectly. But with their hearts. And their lives. And those who belong to him will be ushered into eternal life. Here in God's creation. Restored. Perfected. Where life will reign supreme. And death will be completely and finally defeated. Can I have an amen? Can I have an hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Listen, for 2,000 years, people from all walks of life, the rich, the poor, the influential, the uninfluential, they have been proclaiming for 2,000 years the resurrection of Jesus because they have experienced a risen Lord Jesus in their life in unexplainable but undeniable ways. And because of that experience of the risen Lord Jesus, they have entrusted everything to him. their lives, their identities, their eternities. And it has changed everything for them. It has set them free. I, for one, stand before you as a divorced, recovering alcoholic, probably the least voted to ever become a priest. And I would say my relationship with and new identity in Jesus has transformed my life over time. It's not the microwave oven, ding, 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 done. It's the crock pot, right? Where you throw all the stuff in and it takes time and it's got a bubble. But it gets really good. That's the Christian journey. It is the witness of the church for 2,000 years, and nothing has silenced it. Imagine nothing has silenced it. The Romans tried to crucify it out of the world. The communists tried to erase it from the history books. Secular humanism of today is just sidelining it, saying it's irrelevant. It means nothing. But it cannot silence the truth. Because it is the truth, and it is the liberating truth of the love of God. God, Jesus' love, which is so powerful that it destroyed sin and death, that was seemingly the insurmountable barrier between us and God. The death barrier was broken by Jesus so that we might be with Him, that we might become like Him, that we might live like Him. One with Him now and for eternity. Now, it's Easter morning, so I know there are some of you here under duress, right? You don't need to put your hands up. You're here. You know, you're here because you have to be here. And I suspect there's some folks here who are skeptics, right? They're here this morning and they say, you know, this is all a bunch of hooey. Hooey. Yes, I said hooey in church. And when is this guy going to wrap it up so I can get the brunch? And I know there's some folks here who are just, you know, sentimentalists. I get it, you know. Here out of a bit of nostalgia. You know, it's Easter. Let's go to church. Why not? Right? But Jesus somehow has become irrelevant to your lives. And there might be some folks with us today who consider themselves very spiritual but not religious, and they think that institutions like the church are passé, constricting humanity's spiritual evolution. Well, let me say this to all those folks. Welcome. I am so glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Welcome. And come back. You're always welcome. The door's always open. Come back and challenge us, right? Fellowship with us. Journey with us. Explore with us. We don't have all the answers. We're just leaning into Jesus. And I would ask you, just ask you to do one thing. Have an open mind, right? An open mind. And ask the question, what if? Simple question, right? What if? What if Jesus is who He says He is? The Son of God. What if? Just what if? What if He did rise from the dead and broke the death barrier? If it's true, what would that change for your life? How would it change your worldview? How would it change how you see yourself in relationship with other people? How would it change your values, your identity, your attitudes, your actions? C.S. Lewis wrote this many years ago. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. Meaning, if Jesus wasn't who He says He was, didn't do the things He did, didn't rise from the dead, no importance whatsoever. Let's move on. Nothing to see here. And if it's true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. You follow the reasoning? I hate to tell you, but C.S. Lewis made it an either-or proposition. There is no middle ground here. Either Jesus is who he said he is, or else he's a liar. He can't just be a holy man, because he said some really, really outlandish things. I invite you today to take one step closer to Jesus by asking the question, what if? Wyatt, what if it's true? Lean a little closer and hear the words of Jesus. He said, I tell you the truth. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. John 5:24. He also said, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. John 6:10. These are not my words. These are words that have been echoing through time for 2,000 years, piercing the hearts of human beings just like you, calling you into relationship, calling you to live. Ask yourself, what if it is true? If it is, then it's true for everyone, right? If it is true, then it's also true for you. Therefore, this ultimate truth, this reality-defining truth, demands a response from each of us. Demands a response from each of us. And what is that response? The offering of our lives and all that we are to the King of Glory. Amen.